More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Here in Idaho, there are an estimated 30,000 people living with Alzheimer's. It is a disease that many are calling a public health crisis. And as that number continues to grow, experts are working to raise awareness, which is why the Alzheimer's Foundation of America will be hosting an educational conference this week. And they'll be providing important resources and tools for those folks being most impacted. So joining us now to talk more about the conference are Chris Schneider, Director of Media Relations with the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, and Judy Taylor with Idaho's Commission of Aging and the Chair of the Idaho Board of Nursing. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Great to be with you.
Thank you.
So Chris, let me begin with you. Can we just start with some basics? What exactly is Alzheimer's disease?
Alzheimer's disease is a progressive degenerative brain disorder that impacts memory, thinking skills, other cognitive functions. It's something that is often confused with normal aging, and many people just assume, well, I'm getting older and my memory's slowing down, it must be Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is not a normal part of aging. Again, it's a specific disease, and it's something that people need to be conscious of. And that's why we're holding this educational conference on July 18th to help people understand what some of the warning signs and symptoms are, and just as importantly, what they can do if Alzheimer's or another dementia-related illness is in their life.
So, Chris, are there certain warning signs that people should be looking for if they're concerned about Alzheimer's?
One of the big warning signs is memory loss, but memory loss that is persistent, memory loss that is worsening over time, and memory loss that's starting to interfere with activities of daily living or basic daily activities. So things like, you know, every now and again, it's normal to forget where you placed your keys or where you parked your car. If you're putting your keys in places where they really don't belong, maybe the fridge or the oven, you know, that's a warning sign that you may have a memory problem. If you drive to and from the same grocery store a couple blocks from your house every week, and now you're getting lost going there pretty frequently, that's another warning sign that you may have a memory problem. And it's important that people be proactive about their brain health. It's important that people get things like memory screenings to stay on top of these things, and also to make sure that if there is a problem, that it's detected early.
Okay, so you mentioned some preventative measures there. So what exactly could folks do to maybe try to risk to reduce their risk of getting dementia or Alzheimer's?
Lifestyle choices play a really important role in risk reduction. So things like eating a good diet, exercising, staying socially and physically active, quitting smoking, limiting alcohol intake, exercising your brain, you know, learning new skills, and whether that's learning a language, taking up a new sport, taking up a new activity, all of these are great ways to exercise the brain and help lead a healthy brain lifestyle.
Judy, let me bring you into the conversation. How prevalent is Alzheimer's disease, not just across the nation, but what we're seeing here in Idaho?
Well, the number one risk factor for any type of dementia is age. And over the last few years, the population of Idaho has grown, but our aging population has grown even faster than the general population. So looking at that, we do project that in the future, many more Idahoans may be living with dementia, and hopefully living with dementia well in their communities for as long as possible, which is why we actually exist in state government.
So Judy, as both Chris and I mentioned, you have an educational conference coming up this week, July 18th. Can you tell us a little bit about that since it'll be in Boise?
Absolutely. There's going to be three wonderful sessions. The first by a medical professional talking about Alzheimer's as a disease and certainly promoting early identification and diagnosis. So a good general education around that topic. I am going to be focusing on giving caregivers six really actionable tools that they can implement immediately to just increase the quality of life when interacting with the person that they are giving care to living with dementia. And lastly, a really close colleague of mine is going to be doing a session on brain health. So really looking at preventing dementia and or Alzheimer's disease, basically through a public health lens and what every Idahoan can do to put off the development of dementia, hopefully forever.
And Judy, my understanding is you will also conduct some memory screening at this conference. What is memory screening?
Well, I personally am not involved in that, but certainly we do have some really good validated tools that have been tested. Research has shown that based on certain scoring levels, we can highly recommend that someone goes and gets further testing, be that through their public, their primary care provider, or one of our specialized clinics here in town.
Chris, I want to go back to something that I mentioned in the introduction, and that is that a lot of folks are saying that Alzheimer's is becoming a public health crisis. Can you talk a little bit about why we're kind of veering towards that wording for this disease?
Yeah, I think a public health crisis is a very accurate way to describe it. As Judy had mentioned, it's growing both in Idaho, but also nationwide too. You have nearly 7 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease right now. The CDC projects that number to more than double by 2060 if a cure is not found. So it really is growing. And as people age and people are living longer, as Judy mentioned, age itself is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. So as people are living longer, their chances of developing Alzheimer's increases, which is why taking some of those proactive lifestyle choices can help reduce that risk. And then also just regarding memory screenings, you know, memory screenings will be available at the conference. And just to give a quick overview of what that entails, it just takes a few minutes. It's done one-on-one with a screener. It's all confidential. The screener is going to ask a number of different questions just designed to test memory and other cognitive functions. At the end of the screening, you're going to get a score on site. And screener will tell you the score. And if you're above the baseline, they'll say, great, come back in a year. And if you're below the baseline, they'll suggest that you go see a physician for a more comprehensive evaluation. It doesn't diagnose any particular condition, but the memory screening is an important early detection tool. And equally as important to know, there are a number of different conditions that can cause memory impairments aside from Alzheimer's disease. So things like vitamin deficiencies, thyroid disorders, sleep apnea, depression, urinary tract infections, all of those can cause memory issues. They're also all correctable, but unless you get checked out, you're not going to know. And that's why we encourage people to get a memory screening at the conference. You can register for the conference for free by visiting alzfdn.org, and we hope to see people there.
And Chris, where are things in terms of research with Alzheimer's disease, in terms of where are we in getting closer to a cure, or at least maybe, you know, treatments, medications that can slow the progression?
We're not there yet. The ultimate finish line is a cure, but fortunately we are making progress. There have been some new medications approved by the FDA, but I would say one of the really heartening things that has happened over the last decade is that the federal government has substantially increased federal funding for Alzheimer's research. So if you go back to about 2012, when the National Plan to Address Alzheimer's Disease came out, federal funding was a little under $500 million. And today it's close to $4 billion. So it's something that, it's terrific progress. It's something that Republicans and Democrats have worked in a bipartisan manner to address, which is incredible because they're treating it exactly as it should be treated. It's a public health crisis and not a political issue. So it's nice to see them coming together to make progress. We've come a long way in that sense, but we have to keep building on that until we reach a cure.
So Chris, how important is early detection then, in particular when we do have certain treatments and medications that are showing that you can at least maybe slow down the progression of this disease while we are hopefully waiting for a cure?
Early detection is essential because some of the condition, some of the medications that have just been approved by the FDA are most effective in the early part of the disease stage. But aside from that too, it also affords you a greater opportunity to start taking advantage of therapeutic programming, which can help enhance quality of life. It affords greater opportunity to participate in a clinical trial. It allows you to start developing your care plan and making health, legal, and financial wishes known and documented and get all those things in place so that your loved ones don't have to guess as to what you'd want and how you'd want your care to go. You can dictate that process, as you should. So there's a lot of benefits to early detection. And again, if it's not Alzheimer's, if it's something else that's correctable, like any of the other conditions we were just talking about, unless you get it checked out, unless you get it diagnosed, you're not going to know what to do. So it's critically important.
And before I let you go, Judy, how can folks register for the conference if they're interested?
You know, I think that is better a Chris question. I am so sorry.
Oh, okay. Nope, no worries. Chris, how do people do that?
Just visit our website, alzfdn.org, and you'll see right on the homepage a link to register for the conference, or you can call our office at 866-232-8484. And if you can't make the conference, but you have questions that you want to ask, we have a helpline that's staffed entirely by licensed social workers. It's open 7 days a week, 866-232-8484. They'll be happy to help you out.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time to talk to us about this important topic. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.